Live at 5 Sports with Todd and Suhan, brought to you by Prairie's Edge Casino Resort. Twins back in action tonight against the Boston Red Sox. Timberwolves know when their games times are now, for their fans and so forth, too, on Saturday. Let's start with the Twins. I was just reading your column and kind of some of the stuff in there about the lucky sausage and all that. Talk about your column a little bit.
Yeah, I've been covering baseball for a long time. One of the things I love about baseball is that it's the goofiest sport ever invented. It's a goofy sport. There's luck involved, and you play every day, and these people spend an incredible amount of time each other with lots of downtime, in the clubhouse, on planes and hotels. It breeds characters and goofballs. You don't see goofballs succeeding in other sports the way you do in baseball.
Yep.
And part of it is because you need to have these tension breakers. Great hitters, the cliche is true. Great hitters make out 7 out of 10 times. If you beat yourself up over failure, you're going to just be miserable and you're not going to be able to function. So you need these weird little superstitious things to break things up. Mike Redmond used to walk around the clubhouse naked to break slumps. And we've seen all the movies that adopt, the sacrificing chickens or rituals. These things all happen. Yeah. And a lot of the stuff they do, we can't write about because they're a little bit on the blue edge,
Yeah.
And I remember I was just saying this on our chin music podcast with Roy and Lavelle. And I was in Anaheim the summer of 2002, and the Angels were a pretty good team. They weren't a great team. They didn't have superstars.
Right.
And they start playing the rally monkey late in innings. They start winning all these late inning games. They go all the way and win the Super Bowl. Win the World Series.
Yeah.
That wasn't a World Series winning team. So these mental things can really work. So, Kyle Farmer hasn't gotten a hit all year. The Twins are stinking it up. They're taking terrible at-bats. He brings a summer sausage to the dugout. Everybody starts touching it before they go to plate, and all of a sudden they win 10 straight. It makes no sense. It's not supposed to make sense. That's what I love about baseball. Baseball isn't built to make sense.
That's right. And I'm personally a fan of summer sausage. I have a sandwich occasionally. I, however, don't think I'd leave a summer sausage out on the bench of a baseball team playing in, at least spring temperatures.
Probably the best thing, other than them winning and having fun with it, probably the best thing about this was Baldelli trying to talk through just, is it a health hazard? How long can you keep it around? Can you replace it? Or does that mess up the mojo? Do we know whether it has preservatives on it? Are we going to be carrying around a smelly, moldy piece of sausage if we keep winning? And he just had this look on his face like, I'm talking about summer sausage. I'm a big league manager. I'm talking about summer sausage.
That's right. Pretty hilarious. And then, of course, the Wade Boggs thing where he ate chicken before every meal. I remember seeing a video with him, and he was describing all the different ways that he would make chicken to keep it fresh during the course of the year. So at least he wasn't eating the same chicken every time.
I really feel like Bubba Gump, Forrest Gump, stole his screed about shrimp from Wade Boggs and chicken.
Right.
Just all the different ways you can eat it. Boggs is a weird dude, but being weird probably helps in that game.
Yeah, it does. And I have to admit, when I knew I was going to pitch, I pitched for about 6 years after high school amateur ball in the cities, some Class A baseball, so it was pretty good. And I had to have chicken chow mein from David Fong's, which was in Bloomington, before I pitched. If I knew I was pitching, I didn't always know when I would in amateur baseball, but it was kind of the same thing. And I don't know if it's just to occupy your mind on something else rather than the task at hand, because you can't think about it too much.
Exactly. And, I said it in my column today, if you're a big league hitter, it's really easy to obsess over your failures. It's really easy to obsess over mechanics. Well, you can't think, it's just like golf. You can't think about mechanics in the split second that you have to identify a pitch and pull the trigger.
Yep.
You got to just see ball, hit ball, and thinking about the golf swing is counterproductive. So if you take time to tap on a summer sausage and chuckle to yourself instead of thinking, okay, I got to keep my foot down before the pitcher releases the ball or whatever, it's much better if you can go with a clear mind and in a good mood. than vice versa.
Yeah, that's right. And then you talked a little bit about, I thought it was quite hilarious. I saw it come out that when Finch was informed that Mike Conley had won teammate of the year, he wanted to veto that vote. He didn't think that was fair because Conley ran into him and he got a wrecked knee out of it.
Yeah. I tell you what, you know, and I've written about this before too in different columns. This is a really likable group, the Timberwolves. You know, not all winning teams that get fan bases fired up are actually fun or nice or admirable people. You know, there's some bad people who win games. This is a really fun group. Finch is a blast. Mike and Nori's a blast. They're gracious. They're accessible. You know, the only very mild qualm or complaint I would have about this organization is Anthony Edwards isn't always very accessible. You know, he's a really good teammate, and he's a great player. He's not always great with us. When he does talk, he's fantastic. He just doesn't always choose to talk. But in general, Cat's a big-hearted guy. Gobert is a very nice guy. I mean, it's that, you know, Naz Reid is as nice as he seems. It's just, it's a fun, funny group to be around.
And Tim Connelly spoke with the media some yesterday too, and he said, "Why not us? Why can't we go on and win the NBA championship? We look at it as, look, we're here right there with everybody else. Why can't we win it? That's a good attitude to have."
You have to. If you're a competitor, you have to believe you can do it. You know, believing it is a big part of things. Just you know, it's part of the mental game in basketball. And you look at these two rosters, and let's go right to the series. Jokic is going to play great. He's great. He's always going to play great. He's going to make the right play. He's going to score. If you single him, he's going to score. If you double him, he's going to hit the right person. Mike Anora is really interesting talking about that. He said, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying it's easy to play against Nikola Jokic. He's not. He's the best player in the world. But he said, Jokic is so smart that the one mild advantage you have is you know what he's going to do because he always makes the right play. So if you double him from this position, he's going to throw the ball to this place. So at least you have some predictability with him.
Yeah.
I think the key to this series, I think there are three keys to this series. Number one is Jamal Murray is the difference maker. Jokic is just going to do what he does. Jamal Murray, when he scores like 23 points and hits most of his three-pointers, the Nuggets are unbeatable. When he scores in losses, he scores like 16 points a game and shoots poorly from three. That's the differentiator. If you can hassle Jamal Murray into a bad shooting night, you have a chance. Number two, can they guard Jokic without fouling? Or is Jokic going to get Towns and Gobert in foul trouble the entire series? Number three, can the Wolves bench beat up the Nuggets bench? The Wolves bench is far better than Nuggets bench, but you know, you got to see that advantage play out in a short series.
Another guy, my friend Greg, who does a podcast with me, talked about how good Michael Porter Jr. has been playing of late.
Yep.
Now, he fell in the draft a little bit to Denver, and I assume he was drafted by Tim Connelly when he was still there because of injury history. He had back problems, as I recall, in college. But when that guy's healthy, boy, he's a lithe body out there, too.
He is, and Murray's the biggest differentiator for them. Porter's number two. He can beat you from a three, or he can have a bad night and kind of disappear. He's played really well lately, and he's kind of helped them make up for the fact they don't have the depth they had a year ago.
So give me a prediction. Do you think the Wolves can pull it off against the Nuggets here?
Can they? Yes. Will they? If I had to bet a lot of my own money, I would just play chalk. I would bet the Nuggets. For a fun pick where my money isn't on the line, I'd pick the Wolves in seven just because I think they have advantages that will play out well in this series. And I think they have a real chance, and it's a much more interesting pick than just picking the Nuggets because they're defending champs.
Right. So, in order for the Wolves to pull the upset in the series, which it clearly would be, do they have to win one of these first two in Denver?
I don't think they have to. We could look up a million stats that say they do or they don't or whatever. I think they're capable of winning the two games at home. So if they lost the first two in Denver and came home and won the next two at home, I think they'd be in just as good a shape as if they won one in each spot. You know, it's just math. You know, I think we all overanalyze there's certain things you can't come back from 3-0. I think you can come back from 2-0 if you win the next two games. So I won't say it's an absolute must. But it would make the Wolves feel a lot better. They'd bring home a lot more belief home with them if they could win one of the two.
Jim, thanks so much.
Thanks, Todd.
Live at 5 Sports with Todd and Suhan, brought to you by Prairie's Edge Casino Resort.